It's cool.
Good morning, everyone. It is 1:03 p.m., November 7th, 2024. I call this meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchek, so we have a quorum. And before anything else, would you please join me in standing and pledging our allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for that. And for, you know, in opening comments, you know, the list could go on and on of people to congratulate on great election performances the other night, but I'm going to focus it on our own Julie Fedorchek. I've always sensed for these last 12 years working with you like you were enjoying your time here as well. You should, because you've done great things for the people in North Dakota here. And I'm going to really miss having you here. But as I said Tuesday night, we need to make this sacrifice. North Dakota needs to make this sacrifice and share you with the rest of the nation. And so to all of our victors, congratulations, but especially to you, Julie, congratulations and thank you for being willing to do that. I can't imagine the kind of burden of taking that role on with the way Washington, D.C. has become, but thank you for doing it.
Thank you.
Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert?
You want me to follow that? Ditto. Julie, thank you for all you've done. Your support's been amazing.
Hey, you guys, you're not supposed to make me all choked up. Gosh. All right, well, I'm not saying goodbye because this is my last meeting. So congratulations to you too, Randy. Yep. And since it is the first meeting after the election, I will just say thank you to all you guys for your support, Randy. I'm not going to hear any sadness because it's your fault that I did this. So I'll never forget you coming into my office after district conventions got started last January and said, Julie, you need to run. It obviously is the highest honor of my life. I love North Dakotans. I love this state. I love what we stand for and how we operate. And I just believe America needs more of that. And that's what I'm going to be promoting. So I've learned so much here that is going to be extremely valuable. And I am excited to bring what I know to play and to bear on national energy policy. Because, you know, that's just the bottom line. We need people who understand it, not bartenders from New York City developing our national energy policy. And and so that's something that I'm excited to do. And it matters a lot for everyday citizens. This is not a political issue even. This is something that is just a fact of life. We have to get our energy policies correct. And we know how to do it in North Dakota, and I'm excited to bring that to bear nationally. So, but until then, we have a lot of work to do on the Public Service Commission, and I'm going to enjoy every minute of it with this great team that we have here, and I'll look forward to having some time to spend with the PSC team over the course of the next 6 weeks, and hopefully have some sort of a send off with the team as well, so we can tie it up right and get you guys going on your merry way. So thank you all for your support and your help, and I'm looking forward to continuing to work on a lot of the same issues.
Very good. Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert?
Sorry I had to deflect to you, Julie, but and Randy, congrats to you too.
Oh,
I know you worked hard. But there's another thing that I know all of us commissioners feel this same way. Monday is Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
And the sacrifice and the dedication those veterans had for us is remarkable. Many of us have a day off. And I'm going to challenge all of us if you've never been to a Veterans Day program, ceremony, or really taken the time to reflect on what that day means, I ask you to do so, because there has been a lot of sacrifice. And on Tuesday, or when I went to the polls, I really reflected on my freedom to go and vote mm-hmm. and not be harassed or anything. It was a true freedom. And so to all the veterans out there, Commissioner Crispin, thank you for your service. And if there's someone in this room who's a veteran, thank you. I know we have other people on the staff, but to all veterans out there, thank you.
I actually have one more thing, too.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Sherry reminded me of it, because on Veterans Day, some of us, including myself, will be out in Anaheim for NARUC. Our national conference begins on Sunday. It is my final stint as president of NARUC, so I'll pass the baton over to my colleague, Tricia Pridemore, who will be the next president. She's from Georgia. And we'll do that. I'll have my final comments on Monday. And she will be then elected and installed at that meeting, and we'll take over after that. So that has been a wonderful honor and great opportunity. And we've had some wonderful accomplishments that we have pursued during that time that I'll work with Stacy on, maybe a little news release summarizing what we did during the last course of the last year nationally as president of NARUC. So that'll come to an end as well.
Yes. Okay. So then let's do what I think this commission is mostly noted for, and that's just dig into the hard work of taking care of the people in North Dakota. We have just one item on the consent calendar. I move approval of that plus the previous minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. And then moving into regular agenda items, I move the commission adopt the order in reservation TEL / mid-state TEL / mid-state COM, Stanley, Medora, and Beach Exchanges. Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-24-319, and reservation TEL / mid-state TEL / mid-state COM, designated eligible carrier, application case number PU-24-320.
Second.
Well, I think that motion pretty well explained everything, but in case not, on August 22nd of this year, Reservation Telephone Cooperative, Mid-State Telephone Company, and Mid-State Communications filed a joint application requesting authorization for reservation to provide local exchange telecommunications service in the areas currently known as the Stanley Exchange, the Medora Exchange, and the Beach Exchange. So those three. The Stanley and Medora Exchanges are currently served by Mid-State Telephone, and the Beach Exchange is currently served by Mid-State Communications. They also filed a joint application requesting that reservation be designated as an eligible telecommunications carrier in all three exchanges. On September 11th, we issued a notice of opportunity for a consolidated hearing that provided until October 25th for comments and requests for hearing. No comments or requests for a hearing were received. And then that notice did state that if deemed appropriate, we can determine the matter without a hearing. So, a few details on the case. Reservation Telephone is a North Dakota cooperative with its office located in Parshall. In support of the joint applications, we received an affidavit from Shane Hart, the CEO and general manager of Reservation, which is the sole owner of Mid-State Telephone and Mid-State Communications. So Reservation holds certificates of public convenience and necessity to provide local exchange telecommunications services inside 23 telephone exchanges in the state. Mid-State Telephone holds a CPCN to provide services inside the Stanley Exchange that serves 507 voice and 1,403 internet lines, and a certificate to provide services inside the Medora Exchange, which has 173 voice and 294 internet lines. Mid-State Communications has that certificate to provide services in the Beach Exchange, and they have 368 voice and 699 internet lines there. They will continue to provide local exchange service until all members of all three exchanges have been connected to reservation. So the customers will not experience any immediate change of rates or terms or conditions of service. Reservation plans to upgrade these exchange networks and bury fiber to the premise for all customers, incorporating those customers into their general service area. So in this order, find that its reservation is fit and able to provide telecommunication services to the customers, that the services they propose to provide are adequate, and that they have the technical, financial, and managerial ability to provide the service. Mr. Hart's affidavit also affirms that reservation will continue to meet ETC obligations and that no waiver of ETC criteria is requested. So a little summation of the actual order part of this. Reservation Telephone Cooperative's application with this order for a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity to provide services to the Medora, Stanley, and Beach exchanges is approved. Their request for designation as a ETC in those telephone exchanges is granted. Mid-State Telephones, CPCN, to provide services in the Stanley and Medora exchanges is relinquished. Mid-State Communications' certificate to provide service in the Beach Exchange is relinquished, and both of their designations as eligible telecommunications carriers are also relinquished and canceled.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And I will say, because Mr. Hart is here today, these don't happen much, and it's really complex. And Mr. Hart and the people you work with, thanks for putting together a well-organized application that can make a unique and complex case relatively easy for us to work our way through. So thank you for that. My next motion is very similar, but the names are changed. And it has nothing to do with protecting the innocent, but the names are changed. So I move the commission adopt the order in Nemont Telephone /Missouri Valley/Northwest Com multiple exchanges, public convenience and necessity, case number PU-24-322, and Nemont Telephone /Missouri Valley/Northwest Com designated eligible carrier application, case number PU-24-323.
Second.
On August 26th, Nemont Telephone Cooperative, Missouri Valley Communications, and Northwest Communications filed a joint application requesting authorization for Northwest to provide local exchange services in areas currently known as the Ambrose Exchange, Fortuna Exchange, East Westby Exchange, and Williston Exchange in North Dakota. The Ambrose, Fortuna, and East Westby exchanges are served by Nemont, and the Williston Exchange is currently served by Missouri Valley. They also filed a joint application requesting that Northwest be designated as an eligible telecommunications carrier in these four exchanges. On September 11th, we issued a notice of opportunity for consolidated hearing that provided until October 25th for comments and requests for hearings. No comments or requests were received. The notice stated that if deemed appropriate, we can determine the matter without a hearing. So some background here. Northwest is a North Dakota cooperative with its office located in Ray. In support of the joint applications, the CEO and general manager, Jeremy Becker, provided an affidavit, as did Mike Kilgore, the CEO of Nemont and Missouri Valley. Nemont is largely a Montana cooperative, but they do have some of these properties that extend over there into northwestern North Dakota. So Northwest holds certificates of public convenience and necessity to provide local exchange service inside 17 telephone exchanges in North Dakota. Nemont holds a CPCN to provide local exchange services inside the Ambrose Exchange. There's 75 voice and 75 internet lines there. East Westby Exchange, which has 19 voice and 25 internet lines. And the Fortuna Exchange with 61 voice and 70 internet access lines. And Nemont is designated as an ETC in those three exchanges. Missouri Valley holds a certificate of public convenience and necessity to provide local exchange services inside the Williston Exchange, so a much larger community here. And they're serving 3,090 voice and 3,436 internet access lines, and they are designated as an ETC in Williston. Nemont and Missouri Valley will continue to provide local exchange service until all members in all four exchanges have been connected to Northwest. Customers will not experience any immediate change in rates or terms or conditions. Northwest plans, like the previous case, to upgrade all four of these networks and bury fiber to the premise for all the customers, incorporating those customers into their service area. With this order, we would find that Northwest is fit and able to provide these services to the customers, that the services they propose to provide are adequate, and that they have the technical, financial, and managerial ability to provide the service. The affidavit of Jeremy Becker also affirms that they will continue to meet the obligations of an ETC and that no waiver or ETC criteria is requested. A summation of the order here is, try and abbreviate it, Northwest Communications Cooperative's application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to provide services in the Ambrose, Fortuna, East Westby, and Williston exchanges is approved. Northwest's request for designation as an ETC in these four exchanges is granted. Nemont's certificates of public convenience and necessity inside the Ambrose, East Westby, and Fortuna exchange areas are relinquished. Missouri Valley's certificate of public convenience and necessity inside the Williston Exchange area is relinquished, and both of their designations as eligible telecommunications carriers are relinquished and canceled. And the last thing, I just want to point out a distinction between the previous case and this one. As I mentioned, in the previous case, they owned these subsidiaries that are being merged in. In this case, the communities being merged in are currently run at the top by Nemont, and they're being absorbed into Northwest. And so that's, I think, an important distinction. But in both cases, well put together applications. And I know from way, way, way back in my day, as a director of West River Telecom and a board member of what is now banned, but was in the North Dakota Association of Telecommunications Cooperatives. And I was honored to chair that board for a time. And it was so confusing, all these little companies up there. It seemed like everything was running well, so you didn't get too focused in on it. It was hard to keep track on North Dakota's telecommunications provider map is going to look a lot cleaner now, and I think these people are going to continue to get the outstanding service they're accustomed to.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio, so I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Finerchin.
Thank you. The one thing I've learned about you over 12 years is you definitely like clean maps. And clean everything, I might add. Okay. So on my portfolio today, we have two rate increases. Obviously, they're for natural gas. The commission doesn't ever love having to deal with rate increases, but they're part of our work. And we've been working on these for the better part of a year, so it's good to be here today kind of wrapping them up. I'll take them one at a time, but I just wanted to kind of provide a little bit of overview. So how we look at rate cases, the company has a right to recover their investments, the investments that are used and useful for the ratepayers who are covering their costs. And then there, our job in reviewing rates, reviewing rate increases is ultimately getting to rates that are just and reasonable. Those are the terms that we're supposed to keep in mind. And in balancing those considerations, we have to look at what does the company need to keep the system safe and reliable, and then allow them a reasonable return, and then ensure them that ensures their ability to access capital. Those are kind of the public asks us a lot of questions about rate increases when we're out and about. So it is a balance of trying to make sure that they're keeping the system safe and reliable, because especially as a gas system in North Dakota, this is vital to our citizens in the winter. As we head into winter, we need this stuff available. And the companies, in order to attract capital that they need to make these investments, they have to be appealing, so they need to have a rate of return. So it's not; these are never easy considerations, but we dig deep into these throughout the rate cases and hopefully come at a fair balance that meets the needs of the customer and is as low, as affordable as possible for the rate payers, because we do like to keep our rates low. History suggests that this commission has done a really good job of keeping rates low, especially gas rates. Our rates in North Dakota are 40% lower than the national average as it relates to natural gas. So that's something that comes with careful consideration of rate increase requests, which is what we have done here with both these cases. So I'll walk through each of them one by one, but I wanted to provide that kind of overall context for starters. So the first motion is with MDU. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, 2023 natural gas rate increase application, case number PU-23-341.
Second.
So on last November, November 1st of 2023, MDU filed for a rate increase. They filed for a rate increase of $11.6 million. That was about a 7.5% increase request. That was their original ask. In January, we reapproved their interim rate increase, which was $10 million. That was a 6.5% increase. Actually, we approved that last December, and it went into effect in people's rates in January. So since January, MDU customers have been paying that increase, which was a 6.5% increase. This last winter, AARP and federal executive agencies intervened. In July, we had public input sessions. And then in September, the company and the interveners and our advocacy staff filed a settlement agreement. The settlement agreement reduced the overall revenue increase from the original 11.6 to $9.4 million, or a 6% increase. That amounted to a $2.2 million decrease from their original request sought by NDU. Those decreases in the revenue requirements came by reducing the return on equity 60 basis points to 9.9%. That saved almost $1 million. They removed or canceled some delayed projects. They reduced the incentive compensation package that the company was asking for by another $1 million. And then there were a few other smaller reductions, but the two largest were the ROE reduction and the incentive compensation reduction. And then otherwise, all the interveners agreed on the revenue request after that, that was in the settlement agreement. They agreed on the revenue request number. Let's see. The settlement agreement provided that all the revenue increases for the residential class, excluding those in Wahpeton, would be collected through a volumetric charge And then the basic service charge would stay the same, which was $25.08 a month. So there's no increase in the basic service charge in this case, except for in the Wahpeton customers. All of the revenue will be collected through a volumetric charge added back into their rates. So some of the big drivers of this rate case is, pull these out. Since the last rate increase, MDU has invested $35 million in infrastructure since the last increase in 2021, and that includes significant investments in the System Safety and Integrity Program. That's the required program by the PHMSA requires to evaluate and classify the system on based on risk from highest risk to lowest risk, and then come up with a program for replacing those things that need to be replaced over time, the highest to lowest priorities. So they're making a significant investment in those. Also increased labor expenses, increased depreciation expense and property tax, and then other inflationary increases. Those are the major drivers of the rate case. So they are increased investments by $35 million. They asked for $10 million additional or $11 million additional in increases. And this final settlement agreement that we are proposing to approve today results in a revenue increase of $9.5 million, which is a 6% increase. The good news for customers is this is less than what they're paying in interim rates, so they will actually see a reduction in their rates over what they're currently paying as a result of this, and those new rates will go into effect on December 1st. So with that, I think that covers this rate case and bring this to an end, and I'm going to be supporting this and hope my colleagues will do the same.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, thank you. As you stated in this order, you're reintroducing the volumetric, and while I do have some reservations on this order, but I will be supporting it. I do appreciate the efforts that went into the settlement agreement by all the parties involved. I believe the basic service charge is more straightforward and predictable for customers. The company asserts that there are incentives for conservation, fairness, and potential for lower bills. As rate making is considered an art, I am pleased to see that the order includes a provision that MDU to study the impacts of increased volumetric charges on energy conservation and usage, and to provide an analysis in the next rate case when they apply. So, like I said, I have some reservations. I think this is more complicated for the consumers to understand, but I'll support it, and I'm pleased to see that provision in this order.
Is there any further discussion?
I passed, but that just reminded me. I was forgetting about or neglecting to point that out about the volumetric charge, and in the past I haven't been favorable to that either. I hope this change isn't seen as a complete change of heart that, oh, you know, now we can go wild with, you know, a dramatic change toward that. I understand the argument for maybe this level of reliance on it. It would take a lot of persuading me to go much farther with that. I think this makes it a good place to be at this time.
I agree that this is a pretty good balance. This is going to be something that the commission has to struggle with for many years to come, because the truth of the matter is these gas systems are old. Mm-hmm. They're going to be requiring a lot of investment to keep them, to maintain their reliability and safety. And safety is job number one as it relates to the gas system. We have to be investing in it. And so, you know, I don't think it's feasible to be stuffing all of these rate increases into a basic service charge that is, you know, the same for all customers. I think that the volumetric charge does provide a small amount, but it is an amount of ability for customers to control their own usage and affect that rate much more so than a basic service charge. And so I think it's helpful, and it's in many ways easier to explain to customers than just, you know, if they started to see today it's $25, a $30 basic service charge, $40, $50, how high would it go? When you look at other states and their basic service charge in other jurisdictions, you can see as low as like MDUs in South Dakota is $9.30. And this, and here we've got 25. So those kinds of discrepancies start to get hard to explain as well. So it's a balance. Yeah. And there's, it's just important to keep a careful eye on it.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right. The next motion, I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Northern States Power Company 2024 natural gas rate increase application, case number PU-23-367.
Second.
So last December 29th of 2023, NSP, also more familiarly known as Xcel Energy, filed with the commission an increase in rates for natural gas service of $8.5 million or 9.4% for natural gas in customers in North Dakota. They also filed a petition for interim rates of about an $7.8 million or 8.7% increase. In March, we approved those interim rates of about $7.8 million revenue increase or 8.7%. Later that spring, AARP filed a petition to intervene. In we had public input sessions in July, end of July. And then on August 14th, there was a settlement agreement filed, and we had the hearing on that settlement agreement in September 3rd. Basically, the settlement agreement reduced the return on equity to 9.9%, 30 basis points from what was requested. They removed the flood mitigation project in West Fargo because that turns out that had been covered by other federal funds, removed long-term incentive compensation, charitable donations, organizational dues, economic development, staff recognition, and advertising, removed that whole category of expenses, and another a group of smaller amounts to the revenue, reducing the revenue about $1.1 million. Let's see, this settlement agreement provides that NSP's fixed monthly service charge for residents will be maintained at its current rate of $22.25. NSP had originally requested it increased by up to $25, so that was a change in the settlement agreement. They also propose accepting the new volumetric charge that NSP had proposed, and it will... Also, this settlement requires NSP to file a class cost of service study using the basic service method as described by their witness in the proceeding. And so they'll have to do some evaluation of that for the next commission to be able to review. So in this rate increase, the major drivers were investments in the gas distribution system in North Dakota, including they replaced all the meter modules. They have made safety improvements, such as replacement of several 5 to 6 miles of outdated Alda A and vintage steel. Those are pipes that have a history of causing problems. And so the company is, you know, going methodically through their inventory of that pipe and has a plan for replacing each of those, highest to lowest priority. And then they have new pipeline and infrastructure such as a high pressure gas distribution projects in Grand Forks and West Fargo to help maintain the reliability of the system. Also investments in a natural gas peaking plants and information technology, fleet modernization, and other facility improvements. So, again, a lot of investments occurring on the system for NSP. Same thing applies to them. I think this company went for many, many years without a rate increase and now has had a few over the last course of the last few years, but still North Dakota remains well below our the national average in natural gas rates for customers, which is a great thing because North Dakotans depend a lot on natural gas to meet their home heating and industrial power needs in both the winter and throughout the year. And so we need to keep a careful eye on these costs as they do affect customers a lot. I think, though, this we've done our work on this case and it's ready to go, so I'm going to be supporting it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah. My statement is going to be the same for this case. You know, I have some reservations about it. I'm not going to repeat it, but in the order, Commissioner Fedorchak did indicate not only will they have to file a class cost of service study with the next time, but also stated in this order that NSP shall study the impacts of increased volumetric charge in the design rate on energy conservation and usage and provide an analysis in the next rate case. I want to dig into what's better. Let's see some analysis versus just a statement. Rate making is an art, but I think there's a lot of data that's out there, and I would like to see some of that in the next rate case.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thanks, Vic. Just a date thing.
Okay.
Or time. Okay, I move the commission deem complete the consolidated application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit and issue a notice of filing and notice of public hearing in Grace and Mill Operating LLC, Missouri River Crossing Pipeline, Williams and McKenzie Siting Application Case Number PU-24-311.
Second.
So there's a public hearing on this application scheduled for December 10th. Of 2024 at 9 a.m. Central Time at the Little Missouri Inn and Suites in Watford City. In August, Grace and Mill filed a consolidated application for certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for an existing 8-inch crude oil transmission pipeline that extends 14.72 miles running between the existing Ani and Alexander crude oil terminals in Williams and McKenzie County. So any members of the public who want to express any interest or concern about this should show up on December 10th at the Little Missouri Inn and Suites in Watford City for the hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Concludes my portfolio, Chair Chrisman.
Okay, so that concludes all of our agenda items. Before we go into recess and then ultimately into our executive session, I do want to make a couple of announcements. Our next regular commission meeting is back on cycle again, November 20th, a Wednesday at 10 o'clock. And I'm just going to go a little farther because it gets more interesting. I usually only go to the next regular commission meeting. But the next one after that is on Wednesday, December 4th at 10 o'clock as well. But then beyond that is where it really gets interesting. On December 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, We have a formal hearing here. That's for Otter Tail Power Company, their 2023 electric rate case. That's PU-23-342. If that goes all 5 days, we'll start at 8:30 each of those 5 days. But the one exception, this is what I really want out plenty of advance notice on, our third regular meeting coming up falls on that Wednesday, the 18th. And we're going to keep that on the schedule as it is for 10 o'clock. And so if that rate case is going on, which I expect is very likely the case, we'll probably come in for a couple hours in the morning and suspend it until afternoon and hold our meeting and then pick up where we left off in the afternoon, I expect. But anyway, so that's the next three regular meetings, November 20, December 4, and December 15th. That concludes the announcements. With that, we will stand in recess. Momentarily, we'll reconvene for the administrative portion of the meeting. During recess, we'll take questions from the press. But as of now, this meeting stands in recess.